Amen. How great a love. This morning I want to continue in the line of thought with you, the rapture, the tribulation, and the things that will be taking place, because there are questions that arise. What will happen after the church is gone? Who is going to be involved in the tribulation? Will anybody be saved in the tribulation? These are the kinds of answers that we have been looking at and have been discussing in the past few weeks. Today I want to begin reading to you from the book of Romans, chapter 11. I ask that you stand with me in honor of God's Word this morning. In the book of Romans, chapter 11, beginning in verse number 22. Verse number 22. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fail, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, who are natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as is written. The Deliverer will come out of Zion, and He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them, when I take away their sins. Father, we thank You again for this day, for Your word of truth and strength. And I pray, Father, that You will open our ears to hear it, that our hearts will be filled with Your hope and the joy of salvation, and that this word would reach those that are lost. Father, it's not for ourselves that we pray, but for Your glory and for Your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, please. The time of tribulation is a time that God will begin dealing with the wickedness of men. Those that are in the church today, having heard the glorious truth of the love of Jesus Christ, if you are here today and you have not repented and have accepted, you have not had your name written in the book of life, if the rapture of the church should come between now and the next minute, and you are left sitting here while everybody else is gone, you will be lost for eternity. We looked at that. I showed you in the Scripture how God will bring a strong delusion. The same kind of delusion that He brought to the warriors when they came upon the prophet. And how He prayed for them to have blindness and they had it. And God in His Scripture, Paul writes to us and says that those left behind will be given a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. So if you're sitting here and you're not saved, work it out with God, with fear and with trembling, because the day is coming. God will call His people home. And if you are still sitting here or in your homes or driving down the road when all of a sudden this thing happens, this rapture of the church, you are left behind, you are eternally damned. And I don't say that with any great pleasure. I say that with pain, because you have the truth of Jesus Christ with you right now. So let him who hears, hear. And find your path to God with fear and with trembling. Because the days that will follow the rapture of the church are days of tribulation. Now, I'm not telling you that immediately following the rapture, there's going to be sudden calamity upon the earth. We know that there are lots of things that are going to happen. The Antichrist is going to come upon the scene, and for 3.5 years, he's going to create such wonders and signs for the people to see that they're going to believe that he is the Messiah. Jesus said when he was talking to the Pharisees, "I come in my Father's name and you do not receive me, but another will come in his name and him you will receive." And the Antichrist will be that man. He will come in his own name and the people will receive him. Those that were in the church thought they had salvation left behind. They will fall under the delusion of the Antichrist. He will come into Israel and into the temple and put a cease to sacrifices and tell the world to make sacrifice unto him because he is God. That's the abomination spoken of in the Old Testament. And then great calamity is going to come. The world will be saying peace and safety. And God says, "Woe unto those that are in those days. Peace and safety will not be found." It's a lie. It's deception. And a great many tragedies are going to befall people. It is the time when God will judge wickedness in this world. People think it's not coming. I remind you, the age of Noah didn't think it was coming either. And I remind you, the city of Sodom and Gomorrah thought it was a joke. And I remind you, God's word is ever true and will ever be fulfilled. Amen. He says the day is coming. He says the period is coming. So what is it all about? Paul is writing to the church in Romans, and he's talking about not having an arrogance about being saved, not being arrogant about having this faith and this salvation in Christ. We were grafted into the tree. We were grafted into something that already was. And because Israel has fallen, don't think that they cannot return into the grace of God. Because if God can graft us in, how much more can He do with those that are natural branches? Do you hear that when he's talking about that? We were growing wild and God brought us in to the cultivated tree. How much easier is it going to be for him to bring back the natural branches? Paul is giving us what we need to understand. He does not want us to be ignorant concerning this mystery. Did you see that in verse 25? "I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery." What mystery? The mystery of Israel. The mystery of God's bringing His people, His chosen people, back into His heart and back into His life. The mystery of God reuniting Himself with the nation and with the people of Israel. Though the church is here, one day the church will be gone because God will pull the one who restrains out. And that's going to leave people on the earth without the church. But the nation of Israel will still be here. You know, we see all this great tragedy and calamity coming up in the nation of Israel. And a lot of times people say, "Where is America?" Well, the Father that founded this great nation, and I'm talking about the God in heaven, will have taken the heart of America out. That is the Holy Spirit that guided this nation into the greatness that it once had, but into the destruction and the doom that it will face in the days when the church is gone. Israel is going to be brought back into the love of God, but it's going to be a painful walk for the nation of Israel. I remind you that Jesus, when He came on this earth, He came first to the Jews. And they rejected Him. And they stood in the streets and they hollered at the top of their voice, "Let His blood be on us and our children." Let His blood be on us and our children. And so the nation of Israel is going to have a long journey coming back. Because they do not walk in faith. Oh, they believe in God, but they have rejected Jesus Christ. He is the stumbling block that they have fallen over. Paul says that the Jews stumble over Jesus as a stumbling block. The Gentiles, they can't get over this thing about someone being raised from the dead. So Jesus is a stumbling block across all nationalities. But to the Jews, He's a stumbling block. He stood before them and said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And they wanted to pick up stones and kill Him on the spot because they understood He was saying that He was God. He was the Son of God, giving Him equality with God. They rejected Him. They cried out for His blood to be on them and their children. And they will answer for their own words. I remind you, the Scripture says to be careful what you say. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, for every word will be given an account for. And in this time of tribulation, God is dealing with Israel and the wickedness of men. In the Old Testament, it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. The time. How many of you have ever heard that term, the time of Jacob's trouble? I want you to turn with me to Jeremiah real quick. Jeremiah chapter 30. Now I want to read something just real quickly to you. The prophet Jeremiah is talking in the 30th chapter about the restoration of Israel and of Judah. But he says there's going to be great calamity before it can happen. And beginning in verse number 5, he says this, "For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor, and all faces turned pale? Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it, and it is the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it." God is going to bring great calamity upon the nation of Israel. There is going to be nation upon nation that is going to turn and want to destroy Israel. Well, we've seen that before, haven't we? The Old Testament prophet said, who has ever heard of such a thing that a nation should be born in a day? And yet Israel, after the days following World War II and all of the persecution and all of the murdering, the purging of the Jewish people, they were born a nation in a day. God called them back to their land. You ought to have a sense of fear and trembling because the nation of Israel came back as a nation and recognized before the world as a nation. And we ought to understand that the last days are upon us. God is fulfilling His promises. And He made Israel a nation again where there was nothing. In one day, a vote was taken among the nations and Israel restored. Who has ever heard of such a thing? And the age of the church is alive today, and the grace of God through the church is living today and should be reaching the world today. But one day, the church will be taken and nothing will be left of the church. Not God's church. Oh, there's going to be religion on the earth. There's religion always on the earth. But God's people that are saved through the grace of Jesus Christ, through the age of the church, those of us that are saved will be taken in the twinkling of an eye. We shall be changed and we shall meet with Him in the air. And so we shall be forever and ever. But those here on the earth are facing trial and tribulation. And it's all for the sake of Israel. Because God is going to bring His people home. How many of you know that the nation of Israel today still does not acknowledge Jesus Christ? How can they be God's people if they reject their God? And what does the prophet Jeremiah mean when he says it will be the time of Jacob's trouble? These are interesting questions, and God has given us His answer, and we need to understand it. We need to understand that the period of tribulation is not to purge the world of certain things like it was in times past, but to bring the nation of Israel back into the fold and to lead them into the millennial kingdom where God will reign on the earth for 1,000 years. The prophet calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. And that's interesting to me because Jeremiah was born long after Jacob and the nation of Israel was already born. Jacob's name had been changed centuries before. He was no longer known as Jacob, but he was known as Israel. And so he bore the weight of having the sons that took on the names of the tribes and the nation of Israel being born. So what does the prophet mean, the time of Jacob's trouble? That's something we ought to look at. We ought to take a look at Jacob himself. And if we do that, we turn to Genesis chapter 32. We turn to Genesis chapter 32. And if you don't mind, I am going to begin reading from verse 1. And I'm going to read through verse number 32. Because in this chapter, we have laid out before us what is going to happen with the nation of Israel. The time of Jacob's trouble. Beginning in verse number 1. So Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met with him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." And he called the name of the place Mahanaim. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother in the land of Seir in the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Speak thus to my lord Esau. Thus your servant Jacob says, I have dwelt with Laban and have stayed there until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male and female servants. That I might find favor in your sight." And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he also is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." Stop right there. Jacob, how many of you know who Jacob was? Jacob was a liar and a thief. Jacob was the one that had stolen the birthright from his brother Esau. And now God has told him, since he's been away from his land for so long, He says, "I want you to return to your land." And Jacob is on his way, and he's got all of these people and all of these animals traveling and all of these servants. And now he's beginning to send them across to his brother Esau to impress him. "I have become a big man in the world. I can bribe you. Would you just forget about that thing that happened between us so long ago? You remember, I left for a reason, but don't remember what the reason was. Look more at these animals and these servants and all that I have that I can give you." How many of you have ever heard of a bribe? What do you think Jacob was doing when he began to send all of these caravans across one at a time, separated by time? So that Esau would get one day and then get one another day and then another one. And he was bribing his brother. And Jacob even sent servants over with a message. And the servant came back and listened to what his servant came back. "The messengers returned to Jacob saying, 'We came to your brother Esau and he is now coming to meet you. And 400 men are coming with him.'" The bribe didn't work. How many of you would fear and tremble if you knew that your brother was coming with 400 men? Why would he come with 400 men? Verse number 7. "So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed." A time of trouble. Time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that were with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two companies. And he said, if Esau comes to the one company and attacks it, then the other company which is left will escape. Then Jacob, and I want you to hear these words, because this is a pivotal verse. Then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Jacob said, O God of my father, Abraham, and O God of my father, Isaac. Jacob never claimed God to be his. Jacob was wise in that choice of words. As any person who follows God is wise to call God Father. But it is unwise for the blind and for the uncaring to say to the world, I am saved, when they live like Jacob. When they live like God is not a righteous and a holy God. When they live as though the world will continue from one day to the next without ever there being a day of retribution. Jacob did not say, Oh my God. He said, Oh God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac. You're the one that sent me here. You said you would do well with me. You would treat me well. And now look at me. I'm divided into two companies. By the way, how many of you know that the nation of Israel split later on into Judah and Israel? Interesting, isn't it? How God lays out this picture for us in the life of Jacob. Well, it doesn't stop there. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. Jacob was afraid. He was fearful. He was trembling. O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, help me. Protect me from my brother. So he lodged there that same night and took what came to his hand as a present for Esau, his brother. 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels and their colts, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 foals. And then he delivered them to the hand of his servants, every drove by itself, and said to his servants, pass over before me and put some distance between successive droves. And he commanded the first one, saying, when Esau, my brother, meets you and asks, saying, to whom do you belong and where are you going? Whose are these in front of you? Then you shall say, they are your servant Jacob's. It is a present sent to my lord Esau. And behold, he is also behind us. You see, the bride that I'm telling you, Jacob was sending. Separate yourself in droves so that you don't all show up at once. I need for you to overwhelm him with my generosity. I need you to break his heart down and have him sorrowful that he would harm one that would give so much to him. And can't you hear the nails being hammered into the cross now? So that they could hang one in public display who had given so much to his people Israel. So the present went on over before him, but he himself lodged that night in the camp. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had, and then Jacob was left alone. You know, one day when the rapture takes the church out of this world, Israel is going to be left alone. Because only the heart that knows God and understands the place of Israel in the heart of God is willing to stand at Israel's defense. And when the church is gone, there'll be none left who care. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Now, if you don't understand what was taking place here, Jacob, when he was left all alone in the middle of the night, the angel of the Lord comes and begins wrestling with Jacob. That is why at the end of it, Jacob says, "I have seen God face to face." The angel of the Lord is Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord is the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, the same one that had conversation with Abraham, who said, "But if there are 50, will you still destroy this place?" The angel of the Lord, the same angel of the Lord that showed up to lead the armies under the command of Joshua after Moses, his servant, had died. The angel of the Lord came in the middle of the night and he wrestled with Jacob in the night and he could not prevail against him. Jacob was good at wrestling to get his way. How many of you know that? He was in his mother's womb and he had his brother's heel. And we are told in the Scriptures that was indication that the older would rule or be ruled by the younger. Jacob had wrestled with men and with God all his life and was used to prevailing or finding a way to escape or a way to bribe, a way to cheat. If you remember, he went before his father with the skins on his arms and the food that Esau would have cooked. And his father was old and blind. Although he could hear, he couldn't see, but he could hear and smell. And Jacob walked in and he said, "I am here for my blessing, for my birthright." Isaac said, "Well, you sound an awful lot like Jacob. Come here and let me touch you." And he came over and he grabbed his arm and he felt the hairy arms, because he had wrapped goats or skins around his arm so he'd feel like his brother. And he had clothing on that made him smell like his brother. And he brought in food and he gave it to his father like Esau would have cooked. And so Isaac blessed Jacob with the firstborn's birthright. Isaac said, "What is your name?" Jacob said, "Esau." And now in the middle of the night, he's wrestling with the angel of the Lord, and he's in the grasp of the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord says to him, "What is your name?" And you cannot wrestle with God and give Him a lie. You cannot stand in the presence of God and claim to be what you are not. You cannot stand in the sight of God and portray anything other than what you are. God knows who you are. And so Jacob, the first time in his life, acted in truth and he said, "My name is Jacob." And how many of us who have ever received blessings have received blessings because we broke down in the presence of God and admitted and cried for help? Jacob wanted blessing, And the angel of the Lord said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but now you shall be known as Israel. And there's a covenant there that goes all the way back to Abraham and still exists today. We have a new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's what makes the age of the church what it is. But the nation of Israel has never accepted the blood covenant of Jesus Christ. And so the day of tribulation is coming for the nation of Israel to be brought back into the heart of God. It is called the time of Jacob's trouble. And we see here a story of Jacob. We see here the truth of Jacob and who he is. His wrestling with God. Him having to admit who he is before God. But that's not all we see. The angel of the Lord said, what is your name? Jacob had to confess who he was. But don't miss this. Jacob said to the angel, what is your name? What is your name? How many of you see the response that he got? It's like in the days of Daniel, when Daniel was given the prophecies and he said to seal these words up so that they will not understand. Though Daniel could see and Daniel could write and give us explanation, Daniel was not permitted because something that he would have written would have opened our eyes to something God did not want us to see. Something that would have made it too easy for us to believe and to walk in faith. Can we walk in faith if we have all the answers? Isn't that what faith is all about? Walking without answers, but trusting in the one who has them? And Jacob said to this angel of the Lord, what is your name? And the response he got was this. Why is it that you ask about my name? I'm the God of your father, Abraham. I'm the God of your father, Isaac. Why do you care about my name? It was not given. It was left blank. But Jacob knew who he was. And he says, so Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So in all of that wrestling, Jacob sustained injury. But he survived. All along, wrestling with God. But the next verse is the one that you ought to see. And just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Jacob no longer exists, but Israel does. Jacob is not without a God anymore. Israel has a God, and has a God that saves. And the sun came up, and he crossed over the river, and the sun was rising. Do you see the picture that God has given? The prophet Jeremiah said it's going to be a terrible time. It is the time of Jacob's trouble. He is going to be left alone. He is going to have the world coming up against him. No one stands with him. He is going to wrestle with God in that time. But his eyes are going to be awakened, and Israel will profess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Jesus Christ will descend and save that nation. And the sun will rise on Israel. And they shall live. And they shall be at peace. And God will have all of his children with him at that day. The time of Jacob's trouble is that time that comes after the church is gone. It's the time when God begins wrestling with His nation without a God. His nation that refuses who their God is. This nation that doesn't know His name. Of all things, how could they not know His name? This nation that said, we want His blood on us and our children. This nation who will have to answer because God is a righteous God. And God is a holy God. And when God comes, the Bible says that if the Lord Himself did not end those days, no flesh would survive. God is coming. And He is going to establish His millennial kingdom. And I want you to know, this tribulation, this time of Jacob's trouble, is going to usher in that time of peace. That time of restoration and healing. And it is for the purpose of Israel. If you read in the book of Revelation, beginning in chapter number 7, it says that 144,000, 12,000 from each of the tribes that are listed, those are the ones that have been sealed. They will stand and cry out, Jesus, Jesus, where the church is now gone. They will cry out, Jesus, Jesus. No longer will they say, what is your name? They will tell the whole world, His name is Jesus. But don't wait for that day to share His name. God has given us this day to share His holy name. His name that saves. For there is no other name given under heaven by which men must be saved. That is the name of Jesus. Have you been washed by the blood? Has your name been written in the book of life? You won't see this time of Jacob's trouble. But you shouldn't wish for it, because people will be lost. It will be a time of great peril and distress, and people will be lost for eternity. God has given you the peace of salvation through Jesus. Try to tell everyone you can. We are in the last days. Sandra, would you come?